I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You don't need Donald Trump to be in a debate to have a show there, right? So, I mean, it was complete train wreck.
I thought that there was so much theatrics on the stage, and some of that is intentional.
I'm not sure what any of them are running for. Burgum, I think his name is. He's like a bored rich guy who said, you know what, I got nothing better to do.
Hey, Ramaswamy certainly, I think, was the dominant figure in the debate, but he took up the most airtime. It sort of felt like he was the snappy podcast host, and it was his podcast and everybody else was his guest.
Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, joining with the rest of the state-controlled pundits last night as to how they saw and criticized the GOP presidential debate. Yes, Trump was not there. That was one of the issues. But then they all had cute little lines. But then that one line, that opening line from one of the commentators about it was basically an S show. It had to bleep. You know what he meant. It was a stupid show? No, I think he went a little deeper than the word stupid. We got a lot of reaction that we're going to be covering over the next 2 hours. Not just of that, but Trump's interview with Tucker Carlson, because Trump was not on stage. How many of you watched the debate? How many of you decided to watch the Trump-Carlson interview? You had kind of an option because there was some overlap, and yet it was not a complete, because the Carlson interview with former President Trump was an hour, so you had time to go back and forth if you wanted to for a period of time. We're going to try to bring some of the highlights to you. I'm not going to tell you I can give you a complete, comprehensive look at it. And if you didn't bother watching, you could care less about a full comprehensive view. But we're going to narrow down on a couple of points. And there are some that might be coming back to bite the Democrats as they move forward. We'll explain that. Thank you for joining us again. This is October. I'm jumping ahead. August 24, 2024. This is the first hour of Larry Connors USA. First of two. The second hour will follow immediately right here at this station, reminding you that when the program is on the air, we are also putting up a stream at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on our Rumble platform. In other words, there are a lot of ways to enjoy the program, either by watching it, and my gosh, the numbers were really big last night. Maybe it's just because of the event coming, and now that it was done and reaction today, we'll see how the numbers go. But I thank you. I thank you in so many ways. And if you can't watch the live, not the live, but if you can't watch the stream at the time we're on the air, well, then you can always pull it up later. Get a video podcast, also the audio podcast of the program at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. All right, so I gave the first parting shot to the state-controlled media and their view of how the debate went and how some of those on stage perform. I'll let them have the first word. Now I'll let you hear from Joe Concha. He is a Fox News contributor and also a columnist for The Messenger. His reaction to them.
It's hard to tell what we just watched from what you see on The View every day. It's just to be as provocative as possible. CNN, right, is now back to being the resistance network. They had that panelist on last night who dropped an S-bomb, probably practiced that in the mirror about 18 times before he went on, because you don't accidentally say that. He was like, oh, this is my moment. I'm going to go viral. And then sure enough, the usual places that cover this stuff pick that up right away. I love Joy Reid talking about how Doug Burnham, right, who she's like, oh, how do you pronounce his name? Yeah, he just seems like a bored rich guy who just decided he wanted to run. Like who? Tom Steyer? Who's Tom Steyer? Yeah. Oh, Joe Biden's at his house Lake Tahoe right now, the bored billionaire as well. So it's just so predictable because it's on a personal level.
A personal level. And again, that's Joe Concha talking about how the state-controlled media was responding to the debate. And I think Concha nailed a lot of it, because what we saw from the leftist and state-controlled media, they were, quite honestly, in my opinion, they were distressed and, well, we don't really have anybody we can tear apart. Trump's not there. And of those on the stage, maybe one or two caught some attention from them. The rest they dismissed, as you heard Rachel Maddow ignoring the North Dakota governor. Who is he? Well, which, by the way, he had to hobble on stage because he had twisted his ankle earlier in a basketball game prior to the debate. Note to self, do not play basketball before you go on stage for a debate. But then you have Ron Klain, who served as the chief of staff for a couple of years for Joe Biden. And his remarks, you could have pre-written the remarks. If I asked you, what do you think the former Biden chief of staff would have to say about what he saw in the debate? I'm going to let you hear it, but I'll guarantee you, you've probably already written it in your mind, and I'll give you Joe Concha's response to that.
I thought overall it was the person with the best night on the best time was Joe Biden, because you looked at those eight people, you could imagine none of them being president. You can imagine none of them making a credible case against Joe Biden. Most of them blew their big chance to seem presidential.
When he talks about how Biden had the win last night, talk about practicing something in the mirror, because he's going to say that no matter what he saw in this case. The bottom line is that 18% of this country per Gallup thinks they're satisfied with the direction of this country. And we talked about those issues before. Joe Biden's polling in the 30s on his handling of inflation, in the 20s as far as his handling of the border. There's no issue where he's actually polling more positive than negative. So don't tell me that Joe Biden won the night last night.
Joe Biden did not win the night by any stretch of the imagination. And there's a breaking piece of news. I wouldn't say breaking news. Let me correct that. There's a breaking change of opinion by a Biden leftist supporter that suddenly has decided, you know, I might be on the wrong side of this. Washington Post columnist Henry Olson. He has in the past often talked about how great Joe Biden is, and there's not a lot here about the Biden scandal and so forth. In fact, he called it at one point, the scandal, quote, around Biden was an irrelevant sideshow. And he even admitted in his column, I've long dismissed the Hunter Biden story as an irrelevant sideshow, but recent revelations have changed my mind. There's more than enough evidence to merit a thorough investigation of President Biden's involvement in his son's business dealings. And he listed three things that he said changed his mind. One, Devin Archer's congressional testimony that Joe Biden called in over 20 business meetings, permitting, helping, encouraging Hunter Biden to sell the Biden brand to foreign business associates. Two, the email that shows Joe Biden used an alias to receive an email that got copied to Hunter Biden about business with Ukraine. And three, an email in which Hunter would hold 10% for the big guy. Now, he's saying that's not enough to prove Joe Biden sold out American taxpayers, but it sure does stink. These are words from a Washington Post columnist who's always thought the Biden inquiry, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, was all an irrelevant sideshow trying to take away from Trump. And, of course, we know how the leftists have countered every time. Anytime when Devin Archer made his testimony, what happened the next day? Let me see. The very next day, boom, another indictment against Trump. Word came out about something else, boom, another indictment. Now, in the midst of the debate last night, Bret Baier raised a question to the candidates, and it related to Trump, and it also related to anyone else, because they're going to, supposedly, at this point, still have to face Joe Biden, who has now been dismissed by a Washington Post columnist as, you know, it sure stinks, just like we've been telling you. And so when Baier asked the question, kind of strange reaction.
You all signed a pledge to support the eventual Republican nominee. If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would. So just to be clear, Governor Christie, you were kind of late to the game there, but you raised your hand?
No, I'm doing this. Look, I'm doing this.
And I know
this.
You didn't.
Whoa. No.
Just come, what's
the point? Look, here's the bottom line. Someone's got to stop normalizing this conduct, okay? Now, whether or not you believe that the criminal charges are right or wrong, the conduct is beneath the office of President of the United States. And you know, this is the great thing about this country. Booing is allowed, but it doesn't change the truth.
More booze. Now, I have said similar things about Trump. I want to be very clear in case you've never heard them, even if you're a strong Trump supporter. I have criticized Trump for some of his behavior and some of his remarks and everything else. But it doesn't change the truth of what he did for this nation while he was president, how far he took us, made us energy independent. Now, the other thing, you heard Brett Baer say, Governor Christie, you kind of slowly said, no, I was doing this. I kind of did this way. I didn't raise my hand, but I did this. You know what really happened, though, on the stage, if you didn't see it? When the question's asked, two or three hands go up. DeSantis is in the center of the stage. He's looking left. He looks right. And he looks left again. Then he raises his hand. Was he testing the wind, see which way it's going to go? And then you get a standoff between Vivek Ramaswamy and Christie.
President Trump, I believe, was the best president of the 21st century. It's a fact. And Chris Christie, honest to God, your claim that Donald Trump is motivated by vengeance and grievance would be a lot more credible if your entire campaign were not based on vengeance and grievance against one man. And if people at home want to see a bunch of people blindly bashing Donald Trump without an iota of vision for this country, they could just change the channel to MSNBC right now. But I'm not running for president of MSNBC. I am running for president of the United States. We're skating on thin ice, and we cannot set a precedent where the party in power uses police force to indict its political opponents. It is wrong. We have to end the weaponization of justice in this country.
30 seconds, Governor DeSantis.
Let me take
some. No, I'm sorry. 30 seconds, Governor
DeSantis. You make me laugh because you sit here in an answer.
Well, it went on, and in the second hour, I'm going to pick it up because I want to let you hear exactly what happened where the Fox moderator tries to calm the crowd, and the crowd turns on him. But before the GOP debate began, we already knew that former President Trump was going to do an interview with former Fox host Carlson Tucker.
Mr. President, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Why are you at the Fox News debate tonight in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been asking me that, and many people said you shouldn't do them, but you see the polls have come out, and I'm leading by 50 and 60 points, and, you know, some of them are at 1 and 0 and 2, and I'm saying, do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to be, and get harassed by people that shouldn't even be running for president? Should I be doing that? And a network that isn't particularly friendly to me, frankly. You know, they were backing Ron DeSanctimonious like crazy, and now they've given up on him. I mean, it's a lost cause.
Ron DeSanctimonious. See, that is one thing I wish he would stop doing. I don't expect them to end up working together and being president, VP of candidates, but I wish he'd quit attacking in that sense. He doesn't need to. Of course, Trump is facing charges in Georgia and posting a $200,000 bond, I should say. Keep in mind, in Georgia, many times you commit a crime, no bail, No bond. We're okay. They hit him with $200,000. The idea of the bail is to make sure you return because you might flee the country. He's got his private jet. He certainly could try to, but he's not going to be running. That $200,000 is just punitive and for, I was going to say Fannie Mills. I think her correct pronunciation is funny, or maybe it should be funny. I'm going to call her Fannie anyway because she's, never mind. She ended up putting a $200,000 bail or requesting it from the judge, and they put it on Trump. He's not going to be going anywhere. And he had a reaction to those charges.
How do you do that? How do you get indicted, you know, every week and stay cheerful?
I think it's a lot easier because I'm so high in the polls because it means the people get it. The people see it's a fraud. The people see it like this horrible district attorney from just a little while ago, from essentially Atlanta, that's Fulton County. She said, basically, I don't have any right to challenge an election. Well, what about Stacey Abrams? What about Hillary Clinton? What about all of these Democrats that are still challenging my election? The same people that are saying he's challenging an election challenged my election.
Yeah, exactly true. And remember, the Black Caucus did not even show up for Trump's inauguration. Another question from Tucker Carlson.
If you're elected president again, what's your top, your number one priority? When you ran last time, you said, I will build a wall. This time, your bottom line, top promise to the country.
So you can do numerous things at the same time.
Of course.
But let's say number one is a border.
Do you think we're moving towards civil war?
There's tremendous passion and there's tremendous love. You know, January 6th was a very interesting day because they don't report it properly. I believe it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before. And you know some of the crowds I've spoken before. People in that crowd said it was the most beautiful day they've ever experienced. There was love in that crowd. There was love and unity. I have never seen such spirit and such passion and such love. And I've also never seen simultaneously and from the same people such hatred of what they've done to our country.
So do you think it's possible that there's open conflict? I mean, we seem to be moving towards
something.
I don't know
because I don't know what it, you know, I can say this. There's a level of passion that I've never seen. There's a level of hatred that I've never seen. And that's probably a bad combination.
That would be a bad combination. We've got more on this coming up in the second hour. And part of the interview with Tucker Carlson, Trump offers praise to Democrats, some, and even comments on electric cars and some other things. And also in the second hour, artificial intelligence, the good, the bad, the ugly, and maybe the dangerous. Up next, this is a guy that I have on numerous times, and I know many of you go absolutely wacko every time he appears, but I want to get his take on that debate, especially since Trump wasn't there. I'm sure he's going to have some powerful responses and negative responses regarding that. But as far as those who did appear, the guest would be former New York Congressman John LeBoutier. So we have a full load for you for the next 2 hours. You don't miss it. Let everyone else know we're on the air right now. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Run, run, run with the railroad when their backs are turned.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is often with us. Always glad to have him. He's got some insightful, candid, and sometimes for some of you, irritating remarks. John Lebutier, former New York congressman, a Reaganite, a never-Trumper. John, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Larry. Always great to be with you.
So let's talk about, first of all, this debate last night. You have a GOP presidential debate, and the leading candidate by 30 to 40 points, according to every poll, doesn't even bother showing up. Your reaction there to start.
Well, I think his logic was good when he said, why would I, when I'm ahead by 30 or 40 points, as you say, why would I show up and have eight people attack me the whole time? That makes a lot of sense. And then I add in the fact that I would think his lawyers are begging him to talk less. And here he would be at a debate on national TV with the whole world watching, really. And he's going to say something maybe about one of these cases that may come back to bite him. So by not doing the debate, he avoids that problem.
I think you nailed that. I think that's a good point. The other thing being, though, with him not being there, I'm looking at some of the responses. In fact, you might have already seen it from the Hill today, how they were evaluating those who did show up. According to one view, a GOP strategist, that Nikki Haley ran, quote, a great general debate. Vivek Ramaswamy ran a primary debate. Your take on those who were there?
I agree with that. I mean, I think Nikki Haley did well last night and tried to be a little bit, sorry about that noise, my computer just went off. And
I'm sorry,
about it.
I can understand.
So what I'll do is get out of this room.
Okay.
Because I can't stop that sound. I don't know how to do it.
You're good. Go ahead. Thank you.
But on Nikki Haley, she was the one who tried to be a little moderate in tone about abortion. And that was for the general election, because they've all adopted a position to be hard line on abortion in the primaries, which will hurt whoever the nominee is in the general election next year. So I thought she was smart about that and did a pretty good job. I think she hurt herself today on a CBS interview this morning when she said that she would pardon Donald Trump. And I think that's crazy. I think he hasn't even been put on trial yet, let alone convicted.
Well, everybody does want to know what if he is, what would you do? I mean, I understand the question, but you're saying she should just ignore it or do what?
Right. Well, I think pardoning isn't supposed to be even done until the case is over and the person's been convicted. And you see the circumstances surrounding it and decide if you want to pardon the person or not. To be throwing this thing around in a political campaign, I don't know. I just think it's pathetic. And she's actually running to be vice president with Trump. That's what's going on.
Well, Chris Christie was quickly throwing it around, talking about we can't have this president facing all these indictments and so forth. And again, you're right. We're talking about indictments, not a conviction.
Exactly. I mean, the guy's innocent. Look, I don't like Trump, but he's innocent until a jury of his peers convicts him. And we're months and months away from that, probably. So, but that wasn't the big issue last night. There were other things going on in that room last night in the debate on issues that it's refreshing to hear some of it. Like Ramaswamy doesn't really want to help Ukraine anymore. And a lot of Republican voters don't want to help Ukraine either. And Nikki Haley took them on that one, and as did Chris Christie. And I thought they scored a lot of points by being pro-Ukraine, anti-Putin, especially on the day that Putin apparently assassinated his political rival, Prigozhin.
So you don't buy that was an accident that the plane just
No. Went across. Oh, God. Well, I love how, you know, like one of Putin's opponents, you know, falls out of the 32nd.
Yeah.
Floor window of his apartment in a wheelchair, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, that's kind of dark humor, but it is funny when they come up with a story like that. Yeah, you were right, and the issues were a key point. And do you think they got enough issues out for the people? You mentioned one, Ukraine money, we've been concerned about that. And then abortion, border issues are another, inflation and everything. Do you think the voters got a sense of what these candidates would do or not do?
A little bit. I mean, by the way, another issue I'm thinking of that they did was the debt and spending, and how Nikki Haley, to her credit, right, said and named the ones who were like Tim Scott and Mike Pence was a congressman and Ace Hutchinson was a congressman. When Trump was president, and even before then, the national debt has gone up under Republicans too, not just under Democrats. Yep. And she said under Donald Trump, they added $8 trillion to the national debt. And I'm glad she said it, because as a Republican, I have been shocked every time we Republicans get the House, the Senate, and the White House. What do we do? Do we cut spending or cut the rate of spending? No. We spend like the Democrats spend. And we really don't have any right anymore to criticize the Democrats for being big spenders.
I wouldn't say we spend like they do, but I hear what you're saying. And I criticized Trump when he agreed to do it when he was still in office. He was basically saying, we're just going to do it this one time. Well, and we all know what happens one time, another. Same thing with McCarthy this time around, that we're just going to do it here, and we're going to put a cap. And again, the caps mean nothing if you're not enforcing them.
That's right. So, and that's just to stop increases in spending.
Right.
Forget cutting spending. That does not happen, you know. And Mike Pence, as well-meaning as he is, when he said, well, what I'll do is I will get rid of the Department of Education. No, you won't. That it takes the House, the Senate, and the White House to pass a law to defund and get rid of that. That is never going to happen. We don't get rid of departments. We add new departments. Yeah. That's the way we're going in this country.
Now, you raised a couple of things I want to go back on, if you don't mind me retracking.
Okay.
You mentioned the Georgia County case. Word is coming out now that she wants to have an October 23rd start date and get a speedy trial going. October 23rd, I don't see. I mean, of course, she's worked on it 2.5 years, and it could have been done within the first year of the January 6th event and the Georgia election and everything else. Do you see that happening, October 23rd?
Well, I know, I was surprised to hear that, but then yesterday, one of the defendants, Kenneth Cheeseborough, a lawyer under Trump in the administration, who's sort of the guy that came up with this fake elector thing, he's one of the 19 defendants here. He asked yesterday, I believe, for an October 23rd or 28th or something, start date for his trial, and cited the Georgia Speedy Trial Act,
right,
which allows him to demand that he be put on trial then.
And if the rest of them do that.
Well, that's the thing is, what's she going to do, Fani Willis? Is she going to, as of today, she says she's putting them all on trial then, not separating this guy out from the others.
Another, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm waiting. You know what's coming with these 19.
Yeah.
Somebody in that 19 is going to cut a deal and bail out of this thing.
Well, we've already heard somebody identified as the fourth indictee as already seeking him, but they're saying he didn't really have anything anyway. I don't know what they've got or don't have. But let's deal with another issue that was on the stage last night, and you brought up, reference abortion. And the Fox News host at the time had said holding to abortion is a losing issue for Republicans if it's abortion all the time, not permitted anywhere. And Nikki Haley basically did take the approach, as you said. We have to be somewhat moderate in taking compassion, women, and some of the other issues.
That is correct, by the way. I'm just not talking now the issue from a medical or moral point of view. I'm just strictly political point of view.
Well,
What's hurting the Republicans and why they're losing every election on abortion, including recently in Ohio 2 Tuesdays ago, and Kansas and Wisconsin, and all these red places are voting to allow women the right to choose an abortion, is the Republicans have adopted an extreme position. You got to moderate the position. You don't have to be all pro-abortion all 9 months. That's the other extreme. But, you know, 15 weeks with exceptions for rape, incest, and certainly the health of the mother. I think a majority of people would support something like that. Or 20 weeks. I don't know.
But the question is, what about the question? Yeah, right. And the question is abortion up to birth. And Jen Psaki came out of
that's
nowhere.
That's the extreme.
Yeah.
That's the extreme at the other end.
She says no Democrat supports that. But in fact, several states run by Democrats, Colorado, Oregon, D.C., and she worked for Biden. Other Democrat states like California, New York, Illinois are allowing abortions up to viability. What's the difference? It's the same thing. At the point of birth.
I say I think neither side can afford to be extreme. You got to moderate the position a little bit. And the Republicans, they're falling all over themselves to be more hardline on abortion in order to get the presidential nomination. Now, the one guy that's not doing that is Trump. To his credit, Trump realizes this is a terrible issue for the Republicans in November of 2024. He's been very careful not to get all hopped up on restricting the right to an abortion. And he told people that in private. He's been very careful about it.
In the last 20 seconds, am I hearing you say that if he is the GOP leader, you're going to give him your vote?
No. Oh, no.
Well, you're going to vote the other side? I'm asking you to vote the other side?
I usually end up voting for the Libertarian because I can't vote for Trump and I can't vote for the Democrats, so I vote Libertarian.
Well, write me in. Write me in, John. I'll write you in if you want me to.
Okay.
But we'll
cancel each other out there.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll put my vote with Trump. Thanks, John, as always.
Thank you, Larry. Talk to you soon.
You bet. John LaBoutier. More of these issues. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, as I mentioned in the interview with John LaBoutier, the House Judiciary Chair, Jim Jordan, is looking into the charges filed in Georgia against Trump. Let me give you a full breakdown on this thing. First of all, the word is coming out that Trump has fired. When I say fired, I probably should temper that. He has replaced his top Georgia lawyer. He did that before he went in to face the judge and officially be charged, be placed on bond. He's replacing Drew Finding with Steve Sadow. Now, he's an Atlanta-based attorney. His website describes him as, quote, special counsel for white-collar and high-profile defense. Now, again, that does not mean whoever gets him as the attorney is guilty. But he specializes in that, and especially with a high-profile person like Donald Trump, you want someone of that ability. So he's had attorneys in and out. He's also adding an attorney who's previously challenged the state's RICO law as they try to do it, under which he is charged. Remember, the RICO law itself is not intended for this type of case. The RICO law is mainly meant to bring down mobsters and those who are money laundering and things of this nature. And as Alan Dershowitz, Harvard professor emeritus, had pointed out previously on this program, that this doesn't qualify. There's nothing to be gained. He got no money or anything out of it simply because he challenged the election. And the other point being, he's denying they lost the election. You're allowed to do that. That is something called the First Amendment that allows you to say, I don't go along with them. I have my view. But anyway, Jordan, here's where he's trying to go with his sweeping request for documents. He's asking, now here's where RICO could come into play. Because if you're looking for a conspiracy, and I've raised this before, how coinky-dinky it is that every time something bad, damning or damaging to Joe Biden surfaces, boom, another Trump indictment. I mentioned to you the other day, he's under four indictments, and there could be a fifth indictment dropped in Arizona. If there's any more bad news regarding Biden and Hunter, well, what could get worse? Well, it'd be directly to Joe Biden. They may well decide, we're going to file an indictment as well. And I've always said in question, do you not think these prosecutors are talking back and forth? I think they are. I want to see copies of their text messages and their phone records. Well, Congressman Jim Jordan, House of the Judiciary Committee, is acknowledging the same thing. He's saying, yeah, I think it's time we start getting some real answers. So what he has done is basically file these documents, or his request for all documents regarding their conversations back and forth between the Georgia prosecutor, Fannie Mills. I'm going to go back to Fannie Mills, and you know why. But anyway, it's her name. I'm butchering it, so be it. But he wants to know, in his motion, he cites concerns about her motivation and bringing this case and suggests that her sprawling, racketeering indictment against the former president and 18 others highlights, quote, the threat that such state prosecutors can pose to the operations of the federal government. The letter even asks whether she at any point, and this is key, at any point did she communicate with Special Counsel Jack Smith. He's the guy, of course, who brought the federal charges against Trump, related also in his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, allegedly. And the letter mirrors the committee letter that was sent to other criminal cases regarding Trump, and echoing the former president's frequent complaints that all these charges are motivated by politics other than wrongdoing. We have said that repeatedly. This is not prosecution of a crime. This is persecution of the man they want to destroy because he might well be back in office as president. Jim Jordan wrote, and I'm going to read specifically here, the timing of this prosecution reinforces concerns about your motivation. You did not bring charges until two and a half years later at a time when the campaign for the Republican presidential nomination is in full swing. Moreover, you've requested the trial in this matter began at that stated here, March 4, 2024. The day before Super Tuesday, 8 days before the Georgia presidential primary, if she stuck to her date March 4. But as we were saying, one of the defendants named in her indictments says, I want to go to the state of Georgia and you have to give me a speedy trial. I'm allowed to have a speedy trial under the laws in the state of Georgia, and that we are going to want to move it up to October. October 23rd. I doubt that's going to happen, but the issue is Fannie Mills and her effort to grab anyone and everyone, all these indictments, and we're going to do them all in the same trial, not going to allow them to separate. There will be appeal after appeal after appeal. Well, for the leftist Democrats, that's not a bad idea. Drag it out. And all they're doing now is getting headlines, and they're getting coverage even from me. So be it. We give them some. But the fact that Jim Jordan says, I want to see some evidence. I want emails, communications. I'm glad, because there's where you're going to find the conspiracy. If you recall earlier when the FBI supposedly was investigating Trump for Russian collusion, when they were really manufacturing a case and they were using material supplied, bought for, and paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee, that shot that whole thing down. Boom. It went down faster than Przoskin's plane went down yesterday. The former Wagner leader, who was a Wagner leader to be exact, was threatening to overthrow Putin. That's what John LeBoutier was referring to earlier. I mean, remember that? And Putin and he had a, maybe not a face-to-face meeting, but basically, okay, you're not going to try to overthrow me. We're all good. You can go to Belarus, enjoy your time. Don't go back to your army. Don't start everything all over again. And we'll be friends forever and ever. Or maybe it should have been as long as you live. That was a kiss on the cheek as the mafia used to give. Do not kiss me. You know, let the kiss of death. And his plane suddenly is shot down out of the air. But we'll never get all details out of there. But on this case, reference Georgia and Jack Smith and all these others who've been Alan Bragg in New York, get some documentation from these guys showing what communications they've had back and forth and prove conspiracy on their part that they've been conspiring to get Trump and they really did not care about the law. Donald Trump has said, and I'm going to agree with it, and whether or not you're a Trump supporter, you need to take this into context as well. He has said, an attack on me is an attack on you. You don't have to be a Trump supporter. You can be independent. You might be conservative. You might even be slightly Democrat or maybe Democrat, but not far left Democrat. But the progressive attitude right now is we can and we will weaponize government agencies to destroy you. They're doing it now with Trump, the best of their ability. There is not a single man nor woman. You want to throw those in? Sure. Transsexual, whatever. Standing that could have taken the assault this guy has been under since the beginning. Not only regarding the money that's cost, but just constantly coming after it. That one question from Tucker, how is it you can still remain above the fray and almost, maybe not cheerful, but just accepting it? Because he's made of steel. And he's got money to keep it going. But the rest of us, you might be willing to just plead to anything. Just get off my back and leave my family alone. That came out to some extent in the Tucker Carlson interview. Let me add that the Tucker Carlson interview with Trump was pretty much not dealing with the topics, real topics facing us in general. It was kind of all over the place. And one question that really came out of nowhere, that's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli Sea is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town & Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli Sea.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think he probably committed suicide. He had a life with, you know, beautiful homes and beautiful everything, and he all of a sudden he's incarcerated and not doing very well. I would say that he did, but there are those people. There are many people. I think you're one of them, right? But a lot of people think that he was killed. He knew a lot on a lot of people.
He was killed.
You think so?
I think the closer you look, I'm not a conspiracy person at all. I believe everything I hear. But the closer you look into it, I mean, the Attorney General of the United States, your Attorney General, yeah, clearly lied about the Epstein death.
Yeah,
and
he was.
Why?
He was certainly. It wasn't well done. They had no cameras. They had no anything. Everybody was sleeping, and you know, a case could be made. Look, I'm not going to get involved in it, but I can tell you, a case could be made either way. But it certainly wasn't the most well-run place.
And that is Donald Trump responding to the question from nowhere. And it's about third or fourth on the list of questions that Tucker threw at him. The suspicious or questionable or just whatever question death of Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, he was a sex offender. He had been originally accused back in 2005 in Palm Beach, Florida, for a woman who says he sexually abused her 14-year-old daughter. He pled guilty, got convicted by state court of procuring a child for prostitution, served 13 months in custody, work release, and got all out. Then he had his own island. He was flying folks like Bill Clinton and others to the island. And we know that by the manifest that were presented of who was on board. And there are a lot of questions as to who was involved and at that island engaging in sex with minors, and that he was running a pedophile ring on the island. So he finally gets rearrested in 2019 on this sex trafficking of minors in Florida and New York, jailed August 10, 2019, and then he dies. And from the beginning, everybody's saying, well, how did the man die inside the jail? According to the medical examiner, it was suicide by hanging. But there were so many questions around that. I mean, there were no cameras operating in that part of the cell at the time. Well, what do you know? And the guards who were supposed to be on duty either were absent and are sleeping. So I stuck across and said, I believe he was killed. But Trump's taking kind of the high road, said, well, you know, I think he did commit suicide. What I found interesting, though, is with that question even being raised in that interview. Now, granted, I don't need to tell Tucker Carlson how to ask questions or what to ask. It's his option anyway. And he might have been looking for something entirely off the political path. To that extent, he succeeded. But I have to tell you, when I saw that, and it was very early in the interview, and then later he gets into Russian collusion and charges against Trump and the candidates that might be trying to replace him and Joe Biden. So we got into those as well, but I just found that interesting. There's something else that happened last night in the debate. And it's not important so much as to who said it, but he's going to claim points for it, and he should. But it's something that needs to be said by each and every candidate for either party. Vivek Ramaswamy actually made the statement. And he got a lot of praise on social media, and of course, response in the audience at the time. He pointed out our problems with education began with the number of families, the children who have no fathers in the household. He said, that's where we start. We don't have fathers and a father figure in a household for whatever reason. And that leads to everything we're dealing with on crime and education difficulties. Hour number two, more of the Tucker Carlson interview.